You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
All right. Hit it with the fast finger. You can't even hear it. That's how fast this kid is, bro.
Okay.
Bro,
dude.
That poor girl on prom night.
Welcome.
She's like, that's my belly button, you asshole.
Okay. This is how I work.
I'm just showing you. It's an amuse-bouche.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Fastfingers Polanco.
All right. Mine is Alexis Lazy River Guerrero.
Okay, you get all types, all right? All flavors on here.
But the end result is you get there, whichever way.
All right, you're crossing that finish line.
High five.
Okay, we all win the race together.
Congratulations.
Welcome.
What a ridiculous way to start.
It's a loopy show. We're up late, you know? The U.S. Men's National Team decided.
You were up late. I mean, well, I guess you have a kid now, so you have to get. I was going to say, you got up whenever the hell you wanted.
Alexis doesn't.
I was up at 10:30. I'm like, how much longer is this game going to go? I have to wake up in 4 hours.
Yes, Alexis has a very early morning job. Apparently, no one else has any responsibilities in his mind.
All of you respect how early I wake up.
Only my life is hard. Your life is so easy.
Bro,
okay?
I was supposed to go to bed at 9. So the game, the 7:30 start. I'm like, well, that's great.
Yeah.
7:30 start. That's maybe a few minutes after 9.
9:30, you'll be done.
It's 7:55. They're still yipping. Stop talking. Play the game. I'm blowing whistles in my apartment. Let's get it going, folks.
Wrap it up, kids.
Let's go.
No.
Kick the ball.
Look, a lot to go over. Obviously, Gold Cup. A lot of, obviously, U.S. Women's National Team news. A lot to go. Also, a lot of refereeing. Just nonsense, okay? All right?
Is this new? Is this new information?
Referees? I think because, the European and the rest of the FIFA calendar right now is on, they're on their break. And because, American soccer continues throughout the summer, and maybe it's because of the heat. I don't know. I can't explain it. But
you're like, you tell me why.
The referee has Christina Uncle has been on call. Everybody's like, as soon as
Christina Uncle is actually
that's your new name, Christina.
I hope you like it
because everybody's like, all right, call her up. All right, it's not even just the fans. It's even the people that she works with. You'll see some of the other the other cast on MLS 360 are like, Christina. Yeah. What is? Can you explain what are they gonna do if the referee gets the AR gets injured and blah 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 whatever, you know what I mean?
What I love about it is like whenever because we've had her on the show once,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't on there but I was watching.
I'm morning footy.
Yeah, morning footy.
Yeah.
And whenever she gets called into MLS 360, there whoever asks the question be like, could you tell us how this couldn't have been a foul at all, even though it was, because whatever your belief is what you want her to say. But then she's just going to give you facts.
We don't know. We don't want to humanize referees.
No. We called you so I can win an argument.
So a lot to go over there as well. As always, make sure if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Make sure if you're, maybe you prefer to listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe there as well. We appreciate it. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Those are always pretty cool, too.
I mean, you're right there.
You're right there.
Hit a couple buttons. Leave a review. Tippy-tappy a little something.
All right, know? Let us know how you feel about referees in your review. Yo. Okay? We'll read it to Christina Uncle.
Give I'm sure they'll be completely, card. They won't be unhinged at all.
Totally reasonable.
People are going to think this, like, are there refs on this show?
So, okay. We have to start with Gold Cup because, you know, this is a tournament, that, at least for me, where I'm like, I don't know if I should really... every 2 years, I'm like, another Gold Cup? We're really doing this again? Yeah. And then Gold Cup comes around, and I'm like, yes, Gold Cup, America, let's go.
I'm like, bro, no one even cares about this competition. 2 weeks later, you're like, I love this competition.
Okay, this is what we need more. Why can't we do this every 6 months?
We should have a Silver Cup, a Bronze Cup. Let's go.
Everybody get involved.
Like credit cards, bro. Dude. A Platinum Cup, a Blue Cup, a Debit Cup.
Okay, a nice cash back preferred. Cup.
Oh man,
I'm on board.
How about the Delta SkyMiles Cup, bro?
All right, so look,
you want to get in the lounge? This is the cup you need.
I'm trying to get as many points as possible, bro, by watching these tournaments.
We're gonna have high schoolers playing in these damn cups.
So, but that's the U.S. played Canada. Obviously, but the other teams, Jamaica won a big game against Guatemala. But, you know,
Guatemala didn't show up to that game.
I mean, they tried their best. Andre Blake, I thought, was pretty remarkable. He had a couple great saves. Damari Gray shining, another assist in a big game. I said, look, Damari Gray is now in CONCACAF. All right? He's not out just chilling out in Liverpool, keeping Everton, you know, above the relegation zone as much as possible. So it was great to see that. But no, the U.S. men's national team against Canada, big game. This was obviously Canada after losing in the Nations League final, out for revenge, and they almost got it. They almost had us.
Yo, Jonathan Herman did that yippy thing he did in the World Cup that didn't work for him.
Right.
And it didn't work again.
He
said, you're going to keep the time code on this one because you're going to want to bleep this out. He said, we're going to fuck Serbia or Croatia. Was it Croatia?
We're going to
fuck
Croatia. Yeah.
Buy him a drink first, Jonathan Herman.
yeah.
And it didn't work.
They
played kind of well, but they got bodied.
I'll be honest. I'm getting a little annoyed with John Herdman. Not with the stuff he says. Like, it's fine. It's not a big deal.
The animation.
No, it's not even that either. Mm. It's the damn AirPod.
The skin-colored
AirPod, bro.
It's a little creepy.
You're creeping me out, bro.
I know, right? I haven't seen this. This is a real thing.
He has like a wrapped.
It's like a band-aid or like some sort of wrap around the AirPod to make it like flesh colored.
So you can't, tell it's on there.
Okay.
It's creepy as hell.
It's a little creepy.
What are you FaceTiming people in the Dominican Republic? Are you WhatsApp videoing?
I don't understand I mean, it's not like, obviously you can have an earpiece or whatever, but I don't even know what it would be exactly used for. Who is he communicating with? Is he listening to the audio of the broadcast?
Is he listening to our podcast?
Is he listening to the Cool Against podcast?
He was really into that Tom Penn interview. Right?
Yeah, he was like, game. Man, I also thought he was the owner, said Jonathan Erdman.
common mistake.
Yeah, you know? Happens all the time to the best of us. I'm the best of us.
let me see if I get a photo. I got a photo of it.
It's creepy, bro.
You see it on the right there. Oh, hold on. Let's see if I can.
It looks like he has a pinky toe in his ear, dog.
There it is. Yeah, it's just odd. It's an odd looking.
Oh, so AirPods fall out of my ear all the time.
Never use AirPods. I guess
the perfect cup in my ear. They hold on just fine.
You've got the Delta SkyMiles cup.
I got a nice little vacuum in my ears for AirPods.
Yeah, not me. Your boy Greasy, bro. Okay. My ears are like, whoop, butter this thing up and get it out of here.
I'm not a fan of this, but
look, Jonathan Herman look like he's from the cast of Succession.
Definitely could be.
I could see it.
He looks like a senator with like just
more
the
like Jonathan Herb, man.
Damn.
Boom.
Bro.
Roasted. Got it.
That's
bro.
What we do out here.
Got his ass.
I heard bing from the oven because you cooked, Jonathan Erdman.
Okay.
Damn. Not recovering from that one.
I didn't want to have to do it.
Yo, but you did
you
it,
bro. You left me no choice.
As soon as you said it, all I heard was... Because America, bro.
So,
I'm upset because he said I wanted my team to score less so we could play the U.S.
He's got
bars, by the way. I just rhymed, bro. He said that.
Wow.
He admitted that he wanted his team to score less so that he could face the U.S. men's national team, which, again, you talk crud before the game. And then you got an L handed to you. At what point do you realize, stop doing this, bro?
This is not the right approach. I mean, it's not working for him.
Oh, dude, you got to go Pep. Pep has the style. Like, dude, if I was...
Get on all fours in the technical area.
Damn, man. How'd you pick up a dollar with your bunch? What you call it? If I'm Pep and you're the coach of the other team, Pep is like, yes, Cristian Blanco. Yes, He's a wonderful coach, great coach. I'm very, I study the way he coaches, and he's got great tactics. He is wonderful. I think he's going to be very difficult for us to play against. He's a wonderful, wonderful coach. That's what he does.
Okay.
Sure. And then the other coach is like,
I just love all the compliments.
And the other coach is like, oh my God, did you hear?
He knows my name.
Oh my God. Wait, there's video of this? Oh my God.
Can't believe we got Pep on the show, bro.
I want to get Pep to sign my yearbook. I felt great.
Miguel, is very good meeting you.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take it.
So, look, the
listeners right now are like, is Pep in the room?
Damn, bro. How cool of Pep to show up to us. Come
so
to New York.
Dope, bro. Jonathan Herman's listening to it during the game. Now Pep showing up. Hooligans leveling up.
You know, obviously this morning you spent a lot of time arguing with Nico Cantor about you know, who shined in the game. And obviously we got a lot of shouts for DeJuan Jones, Brandon Vasquez.
DeJuan Jones looked incredible. Of all the players that are not, whose position aren't solidified, like Matt Turner, he looked great. Yeah, I hope so.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Credit to him. He looked incredible. But yeah, outside of him, Brendan Vasquez, he came in and did his thing. I'd like to see him start. I feel like he deserves a start next over Jesus Ferreira. Jesus Ferreira looked good previously to this match. Mm-hmm. Also wasn't getting a ton of service in this match, so I don't want to hold it against him. You know, Zendejas could use a little bit of work.
I saw Jimmy Conrad talking about him. He said he's like, he's done with Zendejas. He's like,
I'm off the Zendejas. Like, we did it. We tried it. We're returning it to the cook. We're good. No, we don't need a box for this. We're good. DeJuan Jones, got to talk about him because he looks like he should be competing for a starting position. I don't think he would be better than Anthony.
Anthony
Robinson, Jedi, that's a spot. But looks like he could be competing at least for backup.
Definitely from a, these international tournaments are not only fighting for a starting spot, but also just to showcase yourself for other clubs, international clubs. So yeah. I think people saw DeJuan Jones. That ball to Brandon Vasquez.
Beautiful.
And that was crazy.
So on a dime, dude.
I didn't know that. I did not know that that DeJuan Jones was not left-footed.
We talked about it when we interviewed him.
We did?
Way back in the day. He told us on the episode. Either that or it was just before or after the interview. If it's not on the episode,
I don't remember that.
We talked about it. He goes, I'm actually right-footed. And we were like, what? And remember I said to you, I'm like, this ain't going to work out. And look at him. It's working out, bro.
We was wrong.
Yeah. Add it to the list.
So,
But yo, he looks incredible. But yo, James Sands.
Yeah,
Tank toes. This bro. Man is standing.
We got.
Yo,
it.
Let me talk my shit that I can't say on TV, bro.
Because you get censored on TV.
It turns out I'm not even allowed to say Grundle. That's why I'm here, bro. Did you know you can't say Grundle on TV? I found out after I said Grundle on TV that you cannot say Grundle on TV, bro. James Sands gets the best 11 in the group stages.
Yes.
That doesn't happen by accident.
I agree.
There's other players on other teams in that position. He was the best. Won the most duels in multiple matches. I don't have the stats in front of me like I had in the show. Connected an insane amount of passes.
Mm-hmm.
Was 100% for duels. Won in the last match against
Trinidad?
Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago. Was the most foul player. Held his ground in front of the back line. That's what you're asking of him.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, he's not great because he's not Yunus Musa or Weston McKennie. Ain't no one asking him to do that.
Right. And he's
that's like saying, yo, I don't like that salad place because they don't have good sandwiches. It's a salad place.
On this team, there's nobody better on this current roster. Available for, you know, the players available for the Gold Cup. He is the best at that position.
I think more than that. I think you're still you're not giving enough credit. It's not just that he's the best available defensive midfielder. He's also played exceptionally well when given the opportunity.
Yeah, I am.
He's done what was asked of him. So much so that I'm not the only one that's recognizing this. And yes, fine. You're going to get the same thing. We're NYCFC season ticket holders, so you can't take us seriously when we talk about James Sands. Fine. Look at what other people are writing about this guy. Mm-hmm. He's doing a great job. He isn't showing you, yo, I'm better than Weston McKennie. Yo, I'm better than Yunus Musa. I'm better than Tyler Adams. No, I don't think he's done that. But no one's asking him to do the things they do. And Miguelito said it best before we recorded. There's a space on this roster potentially for a guy like him who's just like, yo, if there's a time in a match when you need someone to just stand in front of that back line,
yeah,
and hit a couple people with a couple pow pows before they get to the back line.
A little pow pow, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't ask me to run up top. It's not me, bro.
His pow pow percentage is just through the roof.
Bro, he won the Chocolata Best 11 for the pow pows.
You can't take that away from him.
It's a heralded award.
Okay, yeah. It is a, I think he's looked
somebody compared him to the way Michael Carrick played, which is I'm gonna stop this guy, I'm gonna get the ball, and then I'm gonna hand it to you and say, don't make me do something fancy.
And that's the difference. I would say he is like his closest or I guess similar player in similar position, I would probably say he's closer to Tyler Adams than Weston McKennie. Weston McKennie is a much more a bigger attacking threat. And Tyler Adams is a
Tyler Adams would be equidistant between Weston McKennie and James Sands. You know what I mean? He would be in the middle because I think Tyler Adams still has more sauce.
Yeah, he's a better passer, with the ball. Yeah,
he connects to the attack a lot better than I think James Sands would. But it's also not what's being asked of James Sands. And this is what I think is so frustrating is like when you see, and that, you know, Charlie and Nico, if you watch the show, didn't agree with me. And pre-production, everyone, even producers, were like, no, he's not good enough. And it's like, good enough by what metric? Because if BJ Callahan, I almost called him BJ O'Callahan, which sounds like a chain restaurant that disappeared in the early 2000s. Come to BJ O'Callahan's. We've got Long Island iced teas, 2-for-1. Yo, they do 2-for-1 apps? Whatchamacallit? BJ Callahan isn't asking him to take the ball, move into open spaces without in the attack, and make passes
Georgie
yeah,
does that.
Yeah, Mihailovic, get over here and get this damn ball. I got it back. He's a yard dog. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He chases the ball that comes in his area, and then he's fenced in.
Right.
And he's doing it well.
I think he's doing it spectacularly. There isn't too much, even in the game against Canada or any of the group matches, there really hasn't any midfield that has made that have made the U.S. midfield look like really even struggle that much. There were a couple times.
I mean, Canada kept us out of the game centrally.
Sure, but there isn't. But we also weren't getting beat there. Look, and there were five in the midfield for Canada.
Also, can we give a shout out to the greatest name I've heard so far?
Which name is that?
Bombito.
Bombito.
That's
a
cool name.
That's a good name. Is that a nickname? Moise Bombito.
Love to see it. Oh yeah, from
hit player profile.
All right, let's take a look.
I just want to know where my man is from, bro.
Moise Bombito.
He's obviously Canadian, but they don't say give you a little bit more background.
I'm looking up his background.
Bombito.
Sounds like he's a Cuban export. He might have jumped off the with the other.
Yeah, I know,
Cuban
right?
Like,
what's your name?
Guys.
Bombito, papa.
Okay.
No, he's from Montreal. Born in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Love to see it.
So it's probably like Bombito. Bombito's just dope. Shouts to you, Moise.
So I love the passionate defense of James Sands. I think James Sands, especially after going to Rangers, he did a loan spell there. He came back as a different player. I think he's definitely a lot more confident.
He growed up.
He is. I think he's physically Stronger. He is, you know, he is someone that can play center back as well. But I, as a defensive midfielder, I think that is where his strengths really, really show.
Yeah, and I think he's like, to me, he reminds me of like an old school defensive midfielder. He's not cut in the N'Golo Kante run for hours type.
Right, right.
He's not the, you know, Tyler Adams like hybrid, you know, can sort of looks good attacking, looks good defending. He's very much an old school. I think Michael Carrick is a really good example of the type of style he likes to play, which is I'm not going to be box to box. I'm here. Whatever the opposite of zone 14 is, this is where I'm going to stand. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let anyone in here. If he goes over there, that's on you, bro. You need to, you got to protect your zone because I'm protecting mine.
We should also obviously give props to Matt Turner because he was
incredible.
Yeah, you spoke to him this morning.
When doesn't he look incredible?
Yeah, he's just there's something in you know, when you really look back at his story, I think every time he is successful, he just even seems more and more remarkable. Just like the guy,
he lifted his shirt. He was wearing the rest in peace Malia,
which also a really great story. It's
forkidssakefoundation.org.
Okay.
So yeah, yeah. Helping kick childhood cancer. He called it something else. There's like, it's an acronym that apparently Kellen Rowe used to manage.
It was like NEVER or something.
Yeah,
like, or
never ever give up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But apparently Kellen Rowe used to do it and he took over it when he left. And you could tell it's something that's really important to him. And rest in peace, childhood cancer is horrific. Childhood diseases are terrible. Yeah. It sucks that it exists.
So obviously it's clearly a really great you know, person for advocating for this stuff, but you hear just like all the details about his career and the guy he never played in any U.S. youth national anything. He was not I don't even know where yeah. he got drafted. Did he? I don't know. He never got drafted. He trialed with different teams.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then he ended up
like ODB. Nah, I didn't listen to that album growing up. They're like, no, no, that's ODP. We said ODP.
Yeah, yeah. And for him to get to this point, and also to get to this point, and also, you know, it's strange for us to see a goalkeeper who is not the number one at his club and be definitively the number one for his country.
I was going to ask you this, Alexis. Would you rather see him stay at Arsenal as the number two, or do you want him to go somewhere else?
I'd rather see him go on loan.
Okay.
I think Arsenal doesn't have to look far to find a capable backup, but I think he's good enough. The part that's difficult is I think Aaron Ramsdale just became the most valuable goalkeeper in the world. Something of that nature. I saw something like if you were to sell him, he'd be the one that goes for the most. It's sort of frustrating as an American to see that because you're like, Matt Turner's good enough to be the goalkeeper Arsenal.
He could be a goalie in any Premier League, any Premier League.
So the difficulty is like, I kind of like Aaron Ramsdale and I like the way the team rallies around him and the way he gets the team to sort of play a little bit harder and the spirit that he brings to the club. So I don't want to see him benched, but I do think Matt Turner would be capable. That said, if Matt Turner gets on loan wherever he goes, he's not going to go to like a championship team. This dude's an Italian club or someone. This dude is good.
He stopped two penalties.
14 of the last 29 that he faced.
It's really that's insane.
Crazy. That's a crazy number. Yeah.
That's 50%, bro.
That's an insane number. I mean, that is if a batter in baseball got, you know, can hit 500, that would be, you're literally one of the greatest.
You are the greatest.
But
you're getting your pee tested every day.
Okay.
Every day.
It's a remarkable number. And he's not just a good penalty stopper, but the fact that you know, these are the things that, you know, people generally remember, like obviously stopping a penalty, but the fact that he stopped two and he stopped that first one on Vitoria,
who had just scored a penalty
going down the middle, but the balls to go down the middle again.
He said on the show, he goes, whatever their data mm-hmm. was, that he goes to a specific side because it's the easiest shot for him. He's not like a fancy shot taker. He goes exactly. He just tries to hit it with power. But he said to his to the coaches, the goalkeeping coaches, like, I think he's going to go down the middle again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, this guy's instinct is like dialed up, bro. I'm like, I bet you he, I'm like, yo, what am I going to have for lunch? I bet you, you know, dude.
Can you smell the food I'm about to eat tomorrow?
And he's like, something fatty. I'm like, oh my God, bro. How's he know, dude? He's in my brain, dog.
So it's I thought it was a bold decision to go down the middle again.
I mean, also the bolder decision is to just stand your ground.
It
dude.
Is, yeah, it is pretty crazy. So, but no, I think
I don't think I could be a goalkeeper for penalties.
Why not?
Because I'm like, what am I gonna see about this guy that's gonna tell me where to go? I'm just gonna launch my body in a direction. I feel and like hope you'd be.
I feel like you'd be kind of the Emmy Martinez. You'd be like, hey, go that way.
Oh yeah, no, I'd be yipping. Yeah. I'd be. Oh boy,
well, they
would
have,
I be
they have a new law, right? Yeah. They call it the Emmy Martinez law.
Yeah, it's an anti-personality law. Like, no, it really is.
No, it's the no fun league. Yeah. But no, but they did change the rules in IFAB that do say, like, you know, you can't basically do what Emmy Martinez did at the World Cup.
Which is so dumb. Why not?
I mean, look, I'm not saying it's dumb. I mean, I could see
it's
how...
It's dumb.
It could be a bit much.
How?
You know, being a big dummy and doing and trying to like mess
it's
with
part
the,
of the game. There's people that go up there well, and now, scuff up the.
According to the laws, it is not part of the game anymore.
it's part of the game. It's an illegal part of the game.
Because they have literally written it down to be like, hey, this ain't part of the game anymore. Yeah,
we would love for this to not be part of the game.
Look, I like what Matt Turner said on Morning Footy, because he did say like the if he behaved like Emmy Martinez, he felt like he would put more pressure on himself to right. stop a penalty. So he kind of doesn't want to even distract himself from the job of stopping the shot. So,
well, because I asked, like, because we've had this conversation before. I think you and I agree. All the pressure's on the kick taker, on the penalty taker.
Yeah, definitely. Not the all, goalkeeper's but more,
like,
more.
No, but the penalty, the goalkeeper's like, I'm supposed to.
Yeah,
right, right.
This is supposed to be easy for you. So if I can even get in your head a little bit, now I ratchet up that pressure. Mm-hmm. But imagine saying to someone, te vas a cagar, yo te conozco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That means like, you're going to shit the bed. I know you. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. You and I both know you're going to shit the bed. Imagine saying that to somebody.
Well, I think that it might be allowed. I mean, I'm sure you could say something, but Emmy Martinez was doing a lot. I mean, at the World Cup, he was getting in their face. He was looking at the ball with them, standing right next to them when they were about to take the spot.
Why can't you have fun, bro?
So
that is exactly the penalty, the goalkeeper I would be. But see, there's ways to do it. Like, you could walk up, shake the hand,
mm-hmm.
and instead you got to have a face as if you're saying something nice, but you got to say something wild, disrespectful.
Right, right.
Know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You go, you walk up to them, you shake the hand, you say hi to your mother for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you go, I could see your family. They know you're going to miss.
Jeez.
You're
you're really getting into that
one, yeah,
bro.
Dog.
Yeah, yeah. You were just really.
Who was it? Was someone called Bukayo Saka a national embarrassment after he missed the penalty in the Euros or something like that?
Everyone on Twitter? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was, honestly.
The national front? What are you following? What are you following?
No, it was another player. It was another player the next time Saka went to take a penalty.
Let me guess, an OG Burnley player?
It was Jeff Cameron. My bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, so like, yeah, we got to give him his props. It was a huge comeback. I mean, a lot of the players, I think, showed a lot of character. Players like Gianluca Busio, even players like Cade Cowell. I thought they showed.
Cade Cowell was great.
I will say this: I think he was a massive change of pace. He offered a lot that,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was pressing the back line off the shoulder, trying to make runs, trying to get Georgi Mihajlović to pass him the ball. Like there was a, or whatever midfield was
right,
on that
right.
side.
Yeah, he was on, I think Georgi was already off, but yeah.
But what, I like that. But also like, bro, when he gets the ball, when there's pressure put on him, you could see he's like missing that polish that he knows what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's so young though. He's going to develop into something crazy.
But he's a little erratic.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
He goes a little nutty.
Somebody, a rat called AJ on the
shouts to AJ
on Twitter. Just but he mentioned it. He said, "Give him a
it
shout out."
Sound like you were making that yourself. Yeah, yeah. Some rat named AJ told us to say. some snitch ass mom.
That's his name. He said, "Give a shout out to one of the best names." We were talking about Bombito, but the Jason Russell Rowe, who scored one of the penalties. So he was just like, yo, can you give a shout out on Instagram Live earlier?
Do you remember him? He was the one that came in for the first time, made his debut, and scored the own goal. I'm pretty sure that was him.
In which game? In this game?
No, like a couple matches ago. Oh, for
no, I didn't realize. No,
immediately scored an own goal. Wow. Like minutes into his debut.
Well, he scored a penalty. And
it shouts to Shuffleboard, bro. He really... The kid's got a boot on him, huh?
Shuffleboard, he was in Toronto, but then he got traded to Nashville. But
he's in Nashville, yeah.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked great.
But also didn't really celebrate, just kind of pointed straight down. He's like, he's my town.
I thought it was a little bit of like Canada's running things now. And it's like, hey, slow down.
Watch what we do next.
Canadian confidence doesn't sit right with me. Makes me uncomfortable. Doesn't feel...
Yeah, shouldn't you be apologizing, man?
It's a little... For some reason, it's just that the national brand of Canada is...
They're trying to switch it up, though.
They're trying to switch it up,
but... Toronto got a new attitude. Scholes made a good joke about it when he performed in Toronto last. He's like, yo, 10 years ago, you guys were pretending to be like, you were nice New York. Now, all of a sudden, you're all Jamaican. He's like, even the Indian dudes are Jamaican here?
All right, you can throw ting all you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it ain't... I'm not buying it.
I'm not saying y'all waste utes, okay?
Okay, we're not going that far.
But you used to be sweet, sweet Canadians.
it was definitely a bold celebration, a lot of swag. But then, you know, you immediately get an own goal from Scott Kennedy a couple minutes later. So, yeah.
Did you know Landon Donovan said on the pregame that his dad was Canadian and he could have played for Canada? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, did you know that?
He played for Canada at the youth level.
Wow, I did not know that. That's crazy. Know that Tyler, the Creator, is also half Canadian?
Wow.
Bro,
Canada's up, guys. What are we saying?
Canada next, bro.
Okay.
Wagwan, Toronto.
Wagwan.
Yes, Tyler, the Creator's mom is Canadian. And I learned that from a Nardwar video. From
the Tyler, Nardwar video.
Shout out to Nardwar. Let's go. Okay. There we go.
Come on now. Justin Nardwar. Nardwar, new Cooligans. He's going to be like, Alexis, you got to... I'm like, shut up. Cut the tape. We looked at your search history. I'm like, I got to go. Bye.
Too many secrets.
I punched Christian for
something. I've been revealed.
I want to talk about what Landon Donovan said.
I want to talk about that because I want to give some advice to Landon Donovan.
He needs to chill.
He needs to desperately chill.
Oh, my God.
Because he's...
In fact, when I saw what he said, I was like, hey, yo, Landon. Yo, chill.
you need to chill this summer with a nice cold Coors Light while you're watching Leagues Cup 2023.
Bro, and I know you're going to be watching Landon, okay? You're an MLS legend.
Okay.
The MVP trophy is named after you. So why wouldn't you watch this new competition, Leagues Cup? And I know we're going to be watching. And when we watch, we're going to be holding an ice cold crisp Coors Light. And how do you know it's cold, Christian?
Because the mountains are blue right on the can.
Bro.
And as we drink it, I just know that we won't be delivering awful takes like Landon has been delivering recently.
The mountain is blue, like the color missing from Landon's take. It's just red and white painting. You need the red, white, and the blue.
You need to complete it because we need to make sure that you're giving Christian Pulisic good advice.
Good advice, and you're not right now.
Right now, it is not the best. So make sure this summer, stay passionate, stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light, official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligan.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligan. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado!
Let's go. All right.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, this is a forever symbol of our forever love. As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, thanks for standing up there with us. Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's
if
talk.
If you don't know what we're saying, what we're talking about with Landon.
All right, because all I know is that Landon didn't sound like this. That's not what I was hearing.
We need a cha-ching button. Because that's what Landon was seeing.
Okay, we all know Landon, my other teammates, Mexico, Donovan. Uh-huh. All right, we haven't forgotten.
Right?
But no, this is...
Todos unidos, what did he say?
We're teasing Landon, but this is... Look, I want to play what he said on...
Okay, because I was going to read it, but playing it is better. Because yes, you know I'm going to mess it up.
Because he specifically knew that people were going to be a little bit upset with his take. And he said it right on air. This was on...
Well, can I speak as an expert? I know when I'm about to give a trash take. So I like to think Landon now also knows.
He should have started this with all due respect. And then, you know...
Yeah, not for nothing.
And it's like, oh, we're about to be disrespected right now.
And look, as much as he has been very nice to us, when you're on a show with Alexi Lawless and you're the one saying dumb stuff, you got to be saying some wild dumb stuff.
Let's see. It looks all right. Okay, yeah, here we go.
Are we allowed to share this?
Yeah, we can. Yes, this is just
his parent club, Augsburg. Okay. But you know where a bigger payday was looming for Christian Pulisic, Landon Donovan?
Well, I think right here in MLS. And I know, Mo, you think I'm crazy. I get it.
I don't think you're crazy.
But
bro,
think of, let me lay this out. So World Cup's coming in 3 years. This is once in a lifetime. He's going to be in the prime of his career, his life as a soccer player, his earning potential. I'm sure he's making plenty of money. But the ability to come to MLS, kind of like Messi did, I'm not so sure that wasn't a big reason for Messi, the World Cup coming here. And I think it would have been a great move, not just because my former team that I love, but the Galaxy to go out and get Christian and bring him here and pay whatever you have to pay him. Pay whatever you have to pay him. Bring a global, well, not a global, but an American superstar who has global recognition back to MLS ahead of the World Cup. I think it would have been a great move, and I can hear the Twitterverse going crazy and telling me.
So the upside for Christian is, we obviously know the upside for MLS.
Well, here's my biggest thing. He needs to
it's
play.
Not the Twitterverse. It's us screaming.
It's human people. Okay.
Yeah. The what? You want him to do what now?
The idea of the options of AC Milan playing in Champions League and just, oh, LA Galaxy. I mean, he gave that specific example of LA Galaxy. Pay him whatever he wants. No.
How much are they paying?
Nobody. I'm sure USMNT fans would not be happy with a move like that.
No.
Christian Pulisic wouldn't be happy with a move
his
like that.
His dad, his mom,
his agent.
Yo, so the person who would have went behind him on the bench
that's right.
is also upset. He's like, damn, man, he picked MLS.
PA Classics, the academy that he came through when he was seven.
Hershey, the organization, the brand, would be very upset.
This was
Joe LaPuma, who recently did a sneaker shopping with him, would be disappointed.
So, look, I think I'm going to take...
What are the positives of him coming back? Are there any?
So the rest of the clip is essentially he's
everyone
saying,
pointing at him and laughing. Right? Is that what it is? Because it should be.
Everyone basically, you know, him basically saying that at AC Milan, I don't think he's going to... What if he doesn't play? That's his argument. What if he doesn't play? What if the same thing happened that happened at Chelsea and we go into World Cup with a Christian Pulisic that is not in form and not playing very much and in the same kind of drama that he was at Chelsea?
You think he in 3 years, this guy's not going to play?
That's his argument. And the argument he's making is like, if you come to MLS, you're starting every single game. That you will be put on a pedestal, you will be favored, and you are guaranteed to play. So why not come to MLS? And
so you're getting a peek into Landon Donovan's mentality.
Right.
Which is, hey, why go try?
Yeah, we had this, remember, with Jordan Morris, right? Yeah. We had this whole thing, and Jordan Morris wasn't happy that we said the things that we said.
He did tell us.
He did tell us personally.
In more ways than one. But also... I think that's a great example of, yes, you will get more playing time, but without, and you saw, not Kellen Acosta, who Reggie Cannon recently said that he thinks Jesus Ferreira should test himself at a higher level in Europe.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to argue that. I think you kind of want to test yourself. I think you Christian Pulisic is talented enough to be starting at AC Milan.
Yes.
And that's not a rub on AC Milan in any way, shape, or form. I think he's talented enough to be starting at Chelsea. He wasn't getting the opportunities. He was injured a lot. Mm-hmm. There were moments where, you know, his off-the-field antics got in the way of his on-the-field. Also, multiple managers at Chelsea. Wasn't an easy situation. I don't want to make excuses for him. But under no circumstances do you take a guy who's 24 years old and should be the leader of your men's national team and have him go to MLS. No disrespect to MLS. We love MLS. But very clearly, if MLS probably was upset about this. They're like, bro, we're trying to be a selling league, not a buying league.
Right. Well, the interview with Reggie Cannon was great on Football Americas. You should check that out because it was very candid. And the example that he gave about Jesus Ferreira was that as far as the quality in other leagues, or even comparing the Portuguese league to MLS, he was like, there's no comparison when it comes to a game, you know, a last day of the season, your team can get relegated. That kind of pressure essentially changes you and makes you just like obviously a tougher athlete. And that is that's the argument I would make here. Going into AC Milan for Christian Pulisic and going into arguably probably a more challenging, maybe even toxic environment as far as like with the fan base. The demands are going to be incredibly high.
You have meetings with the fans.
Right.
They're upset. And I know LA did the same thing, but we can all agree it's not the same.
It's not the same at all.
MLS fan bases will clap for you when mm-hmm. you lose because they're like, hey, thank you.
Sure, sure.
Ain't nobody clapping for you in
even Bundesliga fan bases, right? Bundesliga,
MLS isn't the only one.
I mean, Germany is also the supporters. I think take a lot of pride in supporting the team when they're up or when they're down.
Yeah,
but then that's also kind of a little bit of a coddling environment to some degree. I mean, it's not the same as MLS.
No, it's a softer landing for Europe,
without a doubt.
Yeah, if Serie A can be wild toxic, as you said.
Yes.
Germany's not that toxic. Germany's kind of a little simp, the fan base. Yeah.
I mean, it's
a little simpy.
It is. I mean, it's like, I think it's a healthy environment.
Yeah.
I like the balance of like the having the sporting demands of your team.
Yeah.
And then also like being kind to them.
Those guys go to therapy. What a bunch of losers,
yeah. They're self-aware, emotionally mature. If you want a dude that's going to grab your neck and give it to you raw, that's Serie A.
Bro.
But if you want to be cuddled, if you want to be the baby spoon or the big spoon, whatever you want,
okay.
That's Bundesliga.
All right. You know, Bundesliga ain't spitting in your mouth.
Nah.
You know
what I'm saying? Nah. Which if you recall, that's how the queen liked it. If you recall from our show, if you get the reference, let us know now in the comments.
So that is what it is. So that's why I would
say, go to Syria for a good dick and down.
Okay. that's what you go to discover yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to help y'all. I mean, if you're trying to figure out what's the league for me.
You're trying to get, you're gonna write Eat, Pray, Love after Serie A.
Exactly. But you're gonna go on a sabbatical. But what you won't do is bring Serie A to your mom.
Exactly.
You're not bringing Serie A Bundesliga, you can introduce to Nana.
Exactly. You're just gonna come back, you're gonna be like, American men, it just ain't the same.
Nah.
You
know, they don't have. I mean, they're nicer, but I don't have that little bit of fear.
So
hopefully we explained it well. Where's Landon Donovan when you need when you have to have a guy? We should just call Landon and be like, dude, I'm saying dick and down, dog. I think you kind of understand what I'm
you
saying.
You get it. You get it.
Miguel is taking down time codes for this feverishly.
Okay. So why can't you say this on CBS?
I know, right? If I can't say Grundo, I got a feeling I'm not going to get this far into the conversation before they Sandman pull me out of the set.
For some reason, Grundle's okay with DraftKings. They don't like these other words.
So that's what I hope for Christian Pulisic. I think... This is.
I forgot that's what we were talking about.
That is what I think.
And that's why Landon Donovan was wrong.
Because this is, I think it's going to be a challenging environment for him. And because the kind of disarray that a lot of Serie A clubs are with money or whatever, like Christian Pulisic is going to play. They're spending a fair amount of money to bring him. And
also, it's an American owner, which I think is going to work against him. The fans, I think, are going to have him on a much shorter leash.
Sure.
But
I think he's going to do much better than he did at Chelsea.
I'm a little worried about him potentially playing on the right. But if he is played centrally, like they said they were interested in him to play centrally at the number 10, he's got Leao right there, bro.
He's on a better team than Chelsea.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Chelsea are going to look like next season, but this is...
He's going to be on a better team than Chelsea was last year.
Without
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for it. I think it's a good move. I don't really understand this take from Landon Donovan. I mean, I think.
Look, I'll say this. I can understand the pressure of doing multiple hours of TV a day.
Mm-hmm.
What needing to come up with something interesting to say in a segment.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that's all that was. You know, it was just him being like, you know what? I'll just say he should come back to MLS. Because if you look at Mo Adu immediately started laughing as the topic was brought up. Because he was like, you about to say that while she was saying in the production meeting?
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
Damn, bro. I thought he was joking, bro.
We were just giggling in the production room.
Don't you remember how we were all pointing at you and laughing? You're going to say this on air?
So a surprise. I don't know. Maybe because of Landon Donovan's history. You know, he was at Everton. They didn't want him to stay. He promised he would go back to the LA Galaxy, so he fulfilled his promise. But would Landon's career be in a different place if he would have stayed at Everton?
And we've spoken to people that were within the club at that time that were like, we would have kept him.
Without
a doubt. He played and he did play incredibly well.
Uh-huh. So I think
but that's a different era. That was when it wasn't nobody paying $70 million for Landon Donovan or whatever the equivalent was back then, probably like 20.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no expectations. People were like, you're getting a guy from MLS? And they were like, oh, wow, this guy can ball.
Yeah.
Where Christian Pulisic has to be the best player on the pitch just because of that valuation, that purchase price. And also, like, he's being made fun of in every group chat that I'm in because of how much Chelsea lost on him.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, I get it, but to some degree,
that's not his fault.
He didn't be like, yo, we need to up the... That wasn't him.
He didn't say, sit me... You know, every game, you know what I mean? He did deal with some injuries.
Injuries were the biggest thing.
Having...
He still won a Champions League, dog, and was active.
Manager after manager after manager, just like, whatever. I think there was just a lot of disarray at Chelsea because even the people who played in Christian Pulisic's position weren't crushing it either. It was a bad team. Yeah. And the last couple years have been, I mean, they won the Champions League and then... I don't understand.
Disarray.
It's just disarray. It's just like I think this tends to happen with clubs that are consistently doing poorly and are poorly run. Sometimes go, you know, they're obviously bad. But then clubs that find success, it's difficult to maintain it year after year because once in a while, you know, you have to move players around. Sometimes money. Somebody's like, yo. Look what I did last year. I deserve more money. And it's like, all right, well, all right, that's a bit much. We can't keep you. Or
and you're going to Bournemouth. You know, right, like, damn. Right.
So I put that responsibility that burden sort of on Chelsea. I think they mismanaged a good player like Christian Pulisic because there wasn't any clear example of like, oh, well, you know, who played in his position?
Raheem Sterling, Mudrick. Players like that, Joao Felix, Mason Mount, players, they were throwing everyone out there at left wing.
Yeah, I mean, no, well, yeah, not, I put it on Chelsea. Regardless, we can talk about more about that later. I want to obviously give some props to, we got the announcement that we saw just the other day. Megan Rapinoe has announced she is retiring.
This is the photo she used.
This is the photo she used.
It's a picture of the three of us, by the way.
Right. but we met Megan obviously in Charlotte when we were hosting the ICC House of Soccer, and we were on stage with her in front of like thousands of people, and it was one of the best experiences I think we've had.
Yeah, we crushed for like 45 minutes until she got there.
Yeah, so it was pretty dope. But no, I don't know. We should. Think about putting some perspective, like a player like Megan Rapinoe retiring. She obviously has two World Cups under her belt. But now that we got the announcement, we know
potentially a third.
Potentially a third.
She's going to a World Cup.
Somebody did. I was on Instagram Live earlier, and somebody asked, "Would it be a disappointment if the U.S. doesn't reach the final for Megan Rapinoe?" And the end of
it. I think it would be a disappointment regardless of whether you mentioned Rapinoe or not, because I think it's a very talented squad.
Right.
They didn't look incredible against Wales. I think it's an incredible.
That's where I land as well. I think it's the quality of the team. I would also say it would be a disappointment if they don't win the Women's World Cup. But my biggest concern really is not specifically how it would look for the U.S. Women's National Team to lose per se, but Megan Rapinoe, there's a lot of people who hate Megan Rapinoe, right, and they will use the Megan Rapinoe losing at the World Cup as like they'll be dunking. They'll be using an opportunity to dunk on her, especially
how she won two in a row.
Right, but this is the problem: is that all the Trumpy people, out there on the internet, they hate her so much because of her beef that she had with Trump.
Yeah, I ain't going to White House. Yeah, yeah. That's an iconic moment in sports.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like this. That's what I saw. I heard.
That's all I heard when she said it. She said, "I'm not going to White House." And I was like, "Hell yeah, dog!"
Damn. All right. And but for her, if the women's national team loses, the amount of annoying people that will show up on Twitter, it will be through the roof. So that's the main reason that I want the U.S. to win, regardless. But even more so,
the positive news is that if there's anyone built to handle it, it's Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, without a doubt. But the point is, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not built to handle it.
You're not emotionally. Okay. She is, and she's just an incredible person too. Jenny Chu, I think, put it in really good. A really good sort of, she analyzed it very well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word, but I couldn't find a better word. So I think, when you think about what she's done on the pitch, which is incredible, she's done almost as much off the pitch. And she's just one of the most influential athletes of our time, man, woman.
Especially in a generation. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But like in a generation of American athletes that doesn't really have a lot of these off the field leaders, she has taken that mantle and been the one that's always been, "I'm visible. I'm here to fight," whatever you're going to say.
And I'm going to be visible. And exactly. I will say the thing that Naisbitt said. And what I like most about her is that, or what Jenny said was, how lucky are we that she plays women's soccer?
Yeah.
That we get to talk about a player like this. It's not mm-hmm. like it's in another sport that we get to cover it. And I'm like, that's actually a really good point.
Right. So, look, I'm excited about the Women's World Cup, but then I'm wondering how much is Rapinoe gonna play, especially in the bigger games in the knockout round.
It don't matter. What we should be more scared of is how good she is at media, and she's about to step on our field now, bro.
Okay. Look, I mean, we're shaking in our boots a little bit.
Yeah. Don't come take our money.
So I want to get into, a lot of people have been asking about refereeing. We've gotten a lot of questions about this the last couple days. NYCFC played in a game against Columbus Crew at lower.com field, and clearly the refs lowered their standards.
I was about to say it's a loweryourstandards.com field.
So when was this game? Was on Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday. What am I looking for? Why can't I find it? Saturday, July 8th. Yeah, here we go. Houston. Columbus Crew. Yep. This game had a total, I believe, of 11 cards issued, something along those lines. Let's see if I can find the exact number.
It wasn't a smooth game.
Yeah, 11 total.
11 total cards. And Wilfred Nancy also sent off a head coach for Columbus Crew. Cucho Hernandez also sent off. He got two yellows. Just yellow cards everywhere, bro. Everybody's getting fouled.
You get a yellow card. You get a yellow card.
there was a lot. And the referee, who is... Sergi Boyko, who has a fascinating story, because he was the guy who was a referee in Ukraine, mm-hmm. and escaped the war after the Russian invasion and started refereeing in Major League Soccer. So it was a great kind of heartwarming story to obviously bring his family to the U.S. and escape a very difficult.
That part of the story is feel good.
Great, but then,
but he does make you wonder if he was a ref in the Ukraine, or if they just let him be a ref when he got.
He was definitely a referee in the Ukraine.
The dude was getting a little sturdy with the card handouts.
But this is how it is because. Everybody's like, wow, that's so incredible that you escaped, a war-torn nation, and it must have been really difficult for you. But why you ain't calling a foul for my team? Yeah, yeah. Bro, we don't need you. You should be fired. Like, people, they're
like, I tell you to get out of this job, but then maybe you'd have to go back to a war-torn country that we don't want you to be. But right now, while you here, dog, what I want to know is, why aren't you doing things the right way?
So there was a lot of cards for dissent. Cucho Hernandez got the card, his first yellow, for dissent after being upset about a call. Or non-call, and then ends up, has the high boot and then gets that second yellow. But there was just a lot of craziness. And then this was the game I don't know if you saw this. An assistant, well, Nanti got sent off for being upset about a non-call. Mm-hmm. And then there was his assistant that threw water at the fourth official, took a water bottle and flung it. Now, he didn't throw the water bottle, just emptied the water on the referee. The fourth official was like one of these kind of swole refs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yo, bro, you picked the wrong ref to do that to.
Don't forget, I might be at work, but I'll be out of work right away, bro.
Bro, okay.
You about to see off the clock, swole ref.
So he got a red as well. And Christina Uncle also.
By the way, did that assistant, were they by any chance in the supporters section of Seattle? Because we got water thrown
we
at
got
us.
Water thrown at us as well. Christina Uncle had weighed in on this as well. Just like you, obviously
she must have been looking stressed, and she's like, "Bro, I mean, how do I talk
about this?
You,
I mean, look, we all get mad at refs here and there, but we all know we can't be throwing anything at them.
Nah, you can't be making splashing.
Okay, so there was just a lot. There was a lot of frustration. I think NYCFC, obviously. Shout out to Justin Hack getting his first
homegrown player to score a goal
in Major League Soccer for NYCFC. So that was huge. Obviously,
we're both big fans.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great kid, and so happy to see him score a goal. But this was a game.
Kid, he's like 6'8". Christian's like, look at that great kid. The guy's like, building a deck.
But this was a game NYCFC should have easily won. They had so many chances. The goalkeeper, Patrick Schulte.
Bro,
this guy was one of the best games of his career.
Hit him with water, dude. Come on, assistant.
He's a guy. A bunch of 1v1 opportunities that NYCFC just couldn't bury. And a big reason was because of Schulte. But this was, but the refereeing, yeah, this was kind of the main talk of this game. It was just so many cards. I think a lot of Columbus fans weren't necessarily mad at NYCFC players or anything. They were mad at Chanel because they thought,
he played it up getting kicked in the face?
Yeah, yeah. And even if he didn't get directly kicked in the face, it was a mad high boot and right at the dude's face.
Like, it's your fault if you put your foot in that position.
Exactly. Yeah. So they were booing him at the game, but I think mostly he was just booing the ref. They were just mad at the referee. So this brings me to the next refereeing decision that was pretty remarkable. This was this ref?
Houston versus Sporting Kansas City.
Who's and this is a ref we know who we see a lot. I just forgot his name. Jair Marufo? Marufo? I think
that sounds right.
I think that's who it is. So he.
I'm seeing Nima Sagafi.
Oh, Mina Sagafi. Okay. This is the other dude. All right. I'm looking for the results.
So it looks like it was a restart.
Restart after a goal.
It was 2-2.
This is 2-2. Houston equalizes, and it's pretty. I mean, a great game. You know, SKC did obviously disappointing for them. But ref, okay. So am I gonna put the? Should I put the audio?
No,
I
guess
okay, right now. Okay, here you go. So this is the audio with it as well.
Frustrating. Disappointing and just rush of blood to the head.
Right. So we just saw it, and we saw I was Jamie Watson, I believe, on the call.
And this is Kinda.
Gadiel Kinda, yeah. I believe his name is. He is about to restart.
And he hesies. He pretends to kick, but he stops. It looks like he might be having a conversation with someone.
Uh-huh.
A player on the Houston team decides, hey, I think you're doing this on purpose. So I'm going to walk up to you, and I'm going to present both of my hands into your chest as fast as possible.
And who was it that got Carlos Ferreira, who's the DP for the Houston Dynamo?
Stands for don't play. You don't want to play. Carlos Ferreira.
And as you can, you know, if you're watching this, you watch him on screen. The guy, Kinda hesitates. He doesn't take the kick immediately. And
Ferreira, the ball is still on the spot.
Right at the center circle, right in the middle there.
Yeah.
And Kinda just gets pushed.
Like a hockey player who wants to just fight.
Yeah, this is a common thing in hockey.
Yeah.
Right? Because usually, I've seen this. I remember going to a New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils preseason game. And the ref drops the puck. Two guys just immediately start fighting. This is a preseason game. First second of the game, they were like, yo, I remember last season.
Yeah.
I remember what you did. We haven't squashed it. We got to squash it now.
And you know, before the puck was dropped, they're like, how's everything? You're feeling good? Yeah, just immediately.
I'm trying to knock out some teeth.
Yeah, come on now. Get the preseason started nice.
So it's fairly common. But look, Houston, I think after equalizing, they're like, yo, we have him on the ropes. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go for him. And the fact that...
Now, you think if you run up to a player and shove them before the whistle blows...
Uh-huh.
Now, that's got to be a red card, right?
You got to give a red card there. Seems to be that part of the game is not part of the game. We were talking about the Emmy Martinez. We might need to introduce a Carlos Pereira law.
Yeah.
To be like, yo, keep it pretty chill before the ball's moved.
But did he say anything disrespectful?
So, Pereira only gets a yellow for this, which is, I think, very generous.
Very generous.
Yeah. And look, he wasn't, incredibly violent. He just pushed him.
He didn't kick or punch.
He just pushed him.
But you really can't shove a guy to the ground because he hezzied.
I've never seen anything like this before. Least that he didn't get a red card. That was the craziest part.
And then
you'd think he deserves a red card for this. Even though it's not, like you said, violent. You're like, sorry, dude, you went too far.
You can't
far.
Be doing that.
And then the ref goes, Vermes is furious. And then he also goes to the Sporting Kansas City bench and gives a yellow to one of the players. And Vermes, after the game, he specifically said, like, that was a non-soccer play. Like, how is this not a red card? And that's kind of where I lie as well. Like, it's not a thing that makes me, like, necessarily incensed. I'm not furious that this happened, but it's
unfortunate. It feels, this gives you like a Mickey Mouse League kind of feel.
To me, at the very least, it sets a bad precedent of like, are we gonna just kind of be cool with before play starts? We fouling people? Yeah, like,
can we sub in goons now to just shove dudes we don't like, get a yellow, and kind of keep it peasy for the rest of the match?
Yeah, not a great look. But, and that's, you know, we shared this video and a lot of people have kind of a similar comment. Nobody's like, oh, I get it. Yellow's fine. Nobody has said that. So I don't understand why the ref can come to that conclusion
either.
Even
Ferreira's like, bruh, I dodged a bullet.
He should have sent me off, bro.
Shouts to my man, the ref, bro.
Yeah, dude. There was also the dude from Charlotte. Who's the center back from Charlotte who got two yellows and got sent off the game against Cincinnati, which is also a spectacular game. They Cincinnati drew against they ended up coming back. I keep talking about Alvaro Barreal. This dude
he's incredible.
He's unbelievable. He's a left back. My man is a baller. He scored that outside of the boot, left foot, nutmegged a defender. A great player. Who was it that got the
Murphy.
Two?
His last name is Murphy.
Ian Murphy got two yellows in this game. But he had just come back from red card suspension from getting two yellows in two games prior.
He's like, bro, I gotta finish this Call of Duty game.
Run it back.
So I need to get out of here again.
And when he got the second yellow in the other game, he was like, oh man, I'm like, yo, ref, you got me. All right, fine. And then he came back and got a second yellow in this other game as well. And he's just like, he put his like head inside his shirt, like, bro, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like your friend comes back from jail and robs someone right away. Like, bro,
slow down.
You were supposed to not do these things.
Karol Swiderski. Did you see his goals?
Did you hear the goal call?
Yes.
Okay.
That
so
was amazing.
We got to play this because Pablo Maurer just interviewed the guy. He just did a piece on The Athletic.
Oh, really?
So I was cautious about making jokes. So I'm like, I don't know if this guy just like.
I think he does this on purpose.
Well, I think this is what he sounds like. This is what his voice
no,
is.
No, I think he
turns it up.
Goes up an octave.
We got to play this call.
Because he even made, he posted a GIF of Mickey Mouse walking and he said, me on my way to work or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I think he's aware. So if you don't know, the guy who calls, and I think he's
the
radio call for Charlotte, his voice changes a bit when a goal is scored and he's excited.
Speaking of Mickey Mouse League,
yeah.
Yeah, his voice hits another octave.
You might want to hit the volume button.
Right. Should I lower it? but yeah, let's just hear the goal call because it is pretty unique.
Vargas in the area, still with it on the right side, stepping over, sending it back for Lindsay. Lindsay sends it back into the area for Svidersky. One touch, he scores! Another one for Svidersky! And that one was more impressive than the first!
So okay.
Look, we're not making fun of him.
No.
We're not. But I've never heard a radio call that gets that high-pitched when they're excited.
This is Will Palaszczuk. I don't know
how Palaszczuk,
but maybe? At Willie P style, he's getting a lot of love. A lot of people showing like, yo, this is again, it's one of those things.
He's in on the bit. Like he understands. He knows what he sounds like. I thought at first maybe his voice cracked just during this,
right? Because this happened when John Strong scored when he did the call for Michael Bradley scoring the halfway line
at Azteca.
At the Azteca, we made John Strong was on the show. We were like, "Yo, John, what happened to your voice, bro? Yeah. It went to another place.
Did you see a snake or something? You know."
But then my man Willie here takes it. He's like, "Oh, I see why John Strong did."
He's like, "You know, the problem with John Strong, the way other people call the games." Is dogs don't get to hear it in an octave that's just for them.
Right. And so it gets to a pretty high place. I think it's, there's no shade on the guy.
Not at all. He's doing a great job and he's marketing himself. Hey, we ain't talking about any other radio, MLS radio guys.
So my man is standing out. Yeah. He's doing his thing. It's like, you know.
You know, other radio announcers are like, should I go real deep? You know what I mean? They'd be like, and there he goes. Oh, pass to the left. He's got a cross. Yes, Karol Swiderski.
Wow.
What a goal. It's amazing.
It's look, you have to find ways to stand out.
And pick a niche.
Pick a, you know? Do your thing.
Bro.
So best of luck to this man.
You got to think what makes me stand out. You know?
My man hits, he hits the castration call.
he's like, oh, I got to bring my equipment, sir. That's a helium tank. And he's like, you'll see. Yeah.
Oh, is it? I thought like, a 9-year-old pushed him off the mic.
Like, mushed him and said, I got this.
Girls, imagine. Because that'd be dope, too.
But it's also just, it's a high pitch that I can't even hit.
No, only Mariah Carey and him can do this.
That was falsetto.
Was it falsetto?
Sounds
I thought
like
it was soprano.
It. I mean, I don't know this.
You don't know? You said it like you knew.
My fault.
Did you ever see the video of Mariah Carey? She can hit the octave that dolphins talk.
Yes, I did see that video.
And then the dolphin went crazy, like, oh my god, they're talking my language.
Finally, my people.
Yeah, what'd you get? What'd you get? Duolingo? How are you finding that? That's this guy. This guy can do the same thing.
So shout out to my man Willie. And again, Pablo
Willie Mariah Plashek.
Well, Pablo Mauer just did a piece on The Athletic interviewing him and stuff like that. So that was pretty dope. So always
I hope
great
it's
to see these unique American soccer standouts. Is always really dope.
But
to
that's
see.
The thing, bro. People want us to be like, super British and crocking. Nah, bro. This is our culture,
here.
Bro.
That ain't what we do here. Okay, this is what we stand for.
Yeah, bro.
Okay,
this is our culture now, bro.
Okay,
he should be calling Orlando City games, bro. If you sound like Mickey Mouse,
that's the move, bro.
Yeah. Whatever that Mickey Mouse
wear
does.
Wear the ears?
Yeah.
Okay. My culture is not your costume.
Orlando fans are like, take it off. cultural appropriation.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Thursday, another fun episode. And again, we're ramping up into a lot of fun stuff. MLS All-Stars next week. So it's going to be, we're going to be doing a bunch of fun stuff there. And Women's World Cup is coming up, starts obviously next week. So we're very, very close. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. We're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff for the Women's World Cup. So tune in, subscribe on YouTube, everything on Threads. We're everywhere, bro.
Bro, we're on Threads. We're on Yarns. We're on all of them, dog.
Okay. We're even on Elo, bro.
Damn. It's a Spanish only, bro.
So we appreciate
it. We're playing CeeLo. We're doing all, really.
So we'll be back on Thursday. Another fun episode in the works. And we will, yeah, a lot. This is going to be a summer of soccer, everybody. Yeah, it's going to be dope. All right, everybody.
All you got to know is that we love you.
That's all you. Gee, damn, but it turned into an after school special.
Bro, we love you. Hit the eagle with the fast fingers. You don't hear it.
You can't even hear it.
Hit the horn again, man.
Boom.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Peace, everybody. Thank you.
Love you guys.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.